Good afternoon. It's the Natural Co-Creator Show, and my name's Jennifer Lynch, and I have got with me today John Raynard, who has set up a series of meetings for spiritual entrepreneurs. He runs groups, spiritual groups for people. He lives in Suffolk. He's had a very varied and interesting career so far, being not afraid in any way to take a few chances. And I'm just going to pass you over to John Raynard, for him to tell you a little bit more about the amazing things that he's done.
Thank you very much, Jenny. And good morning, everyone. So I started my own career working for Unilever in France, in fact. And I probably worked with them for 2.5 years, but never felt comfortable with working in a corporate environment, and never really felt comfortable working for someone else. I think there are certainly people who just do not want to work for somebody else, and who really want to kind of go out on their own and create their own business. For such people, business is in itself a journey. It's very central to their spiritual growth in life. I've had a couple of businesses. I set up a restaurant in the 80s, in the early 80s, actually, in Burst Edmonds. It was a time when, well, actually, it was a vegetarian restaurant, and it was a time when such restaurants were quite thin on the ground. It was an early time, really, for vegetarian things. It was on a site which was a secondary site. I converted an old bakery into a 40-seater restaurant, and I didn't have any experience of restaurants myself, actually.
Yeah.
So in many ways, it was a risky venture. I certainly put all my money into it and borrowed significant money from family and friends. We converted it ourselves. I got lots of great volunteers involved. Over the space of a year or so, we converted it into a restaurant and then opened it in the early 80s.
The 80s was a period where people were taking risks and ventures, and
yes,
you know, if anything was going to work, it was going to work in the 80s.
Yes, and it was the right time for doing something specifically vegetarian. People used to travel to it, and you know, they used to have to kind of have to find it. So marketing was very important. Getting the name across was critical, and I've always enjoyed marketing, so that kind of ticked a box for me. I did run the restaurant for a couple of 3 years, but I think one has to acknowledge that some things are right to do for a certain time, and then it's important not to hang on to them if the enthusiasm wanes. I discovered that I wasn't a born caterer. I think a restaurant needs a born caterer, really. And I sold the business to the father of the manageress who was working for me. So all worked out really well. I had the fun of setting up the restaurant and creating it and seeing it become established and create its name. And then I was able to sell it on to someone who was very, very capable to take it forward.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So during that time, is there anything that you feel that you really learned about people when you were running the restaurant? Was it a bit of an eye-opening experience?
Oh, yes. I mean, I was in my early 30s. I was very naive when it came to communication with others. And I certainly made loads of mistakes when it came to communicating and management of others. I had a bunch of really great people, actually, and we really did do some some great events. We used to do lots of special events. But I think it was a time when I learned a lot about clearer communication. I think it was a time when I learned a lot about how to express myself, clearly without coming across dominating, and how to understand others. And basically, I learned a lot around trust and the importance of actually not doing things that you don't really know about, and the importance of delegation.
Yeah, I think that's great. So that was a very busy time for you. And like you said, you hadn't been in that line of business before, but it was maybe you moved into a place that provided something that hadn't been provided before. Okay, so John, you've written a book, haven't you? And the book is called Spiritual Entrepreneurs, or it's for spiritual entrepreneurs. Would you like to explain a little bit about what the book's about and who would be interested in?
Yes. The book is called The Spiritual Entrepreneur. It'll be published, I'm going to self-publish in about 3 months' time, actually. The essence of the book is about spirituality and business. In my own career, I started out life working for Unilever in market research. And I worked for about 2.5 years in that corporate environment. And whilst I enjoyed it, I did find it limiting. And I do think there are certain people who are called to be entrepreneurs. And being an entrepreneur is not necessarily out of greed. It's out of passion. It's out of a genuine desire to work for oneself in an area that one really is keen to submerge oneself into. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around business. People think business is a dirty game, and we see lots of evidence of this on the news with regard to the banks. We hear about greed, and it all contributes towards this perception that if you're in business, then it's going to be cutthroat, it's do or die. If you don't screw somebody else, you're going to get screwed. And it really isn't necessary. It's a false perception, because being good at business is about creating win-win situations. Win-win situations that are not only good for both parties, all parties, but actually have an additional element that perhaps wasn't even anticipated.
I found that interesting, John, because I was speaking to somebody the other day who said to me, well, he only got there by, being awful to other people like, that are really successful in business have actually ridden, over other people, over the top of other people, and squashed them down in order to get where they are. Well, I think that's a very cruel and cynical outlook about making money, because in fact, like you say, not all business is like that, is it?
It isn't. And you see increasing evidence of this. I think up until the 20th century, I think a lot of businesses have been centered on the entrepreneur, the owner is the risk taker. He, she is the person that dominates the situation, and everybody else does what they're told. They may speak up when they're asked, but basically they are told what to do. But I think in this century, from this century onwards, when we talk about the 21st century entrepreneur, we are talking about co-creation. We are talking about respect for others. We are talking about following intuition rather than concentrating on complex business plans. And business plans are great, but they don't actually create.
Yeah,
So the importance of spirituality in business, intuition is central to the theme. If you're an entrepreneur, every entrepreneur will know the power of intuition because they will all have a sense for it. It's going against the grain. It's saying, no, this is a real feeling of mine. I want to do it. I will dedicate myself to getting this done. I will do what it takes to get there. And that doesn't include domination of others. It includes cooperation with others and good communication with others. And it involves seeking out that win-win situation.
Yes. I mean, I myself have had a bonsai shop in the past, so that was slightly unusual in the fact that there wasn't really any bonsai shops about. But it was, I think sometimes it's like with you with a restaurant. If you've got the desire, you connect with that aspect. You know, if it really connects with you on a deep level, do you believe that, you know, you are supposed to be doing it anyway, however the whatever the outcome is? Have you got a sense of that, that sometimes it isn't always successful, but it's part of your life that you should be exploring?
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel that?
Yes.
Because you learn valuable things from it, don't you, anyway? If it's successful, it's more likely to be successful anyway if you're following your heart, isn't it? Don't you think?
Absolutely. We created a fabulous-looking restaurant. We got it opened in the early 80s, and we were all naive. and we had good days and bad days, and sometimes it would just be overflowing with people, and then other times, especially if the atmosphere wasn't very good, if we were having our own problems, we would attract no one. You know, no one would come in.
So where did that idea come from for you? Was it because vegetarianism is in your heart and you're a vegetarian yourself? Or is it because you wanted to create something that was unique and hadn't been done before?
Well, at the time I was working freelance, so I had spare time to be able to kind of do my own reading around natural healing. And it was a time when mind, body and spirit was becoming significant. I remember the first show at Olympia of Mind, Body and Spirit. And all that area was of interest to me. So vegetarianism was a part of that. I was actually vegetarian myself. I did think that was the way forward. I was very much into it. And the restaurant was not just about food. It was a meeting place. It was a place where we used to put on talks. We used to have common people and come and give lectures about natural healing. So it was a meeting point as well. It wasn't just a restaurant.
I think that's fabulous. And so in your book, I have actually highlighted one of two things here that really resonate with me. One of them is you say the very essence of an entrepreneur is to think for oneself, to question what others take for granted, and have the conviction to make happen what most people only dream of.
Yes, I mean, I think that's the central core of entrepreneurship is that skill, that ability to recognize what one really feels intuitively makes a lot of sense and to follow up on that.
And how important do you feel that meditation, grounding and keeping in your spiritual space, I'll call it space, is once you start to get really hectic and busy and your project starts to take over your life a little bit?
Yes, I mean, with the benefit of hindsight, it's easy to say that you should meditate every morning. And actually, I do. But I can certainly remember times when I haven't. And I know that when I've lost the habit or told myself I was too busy, I've always suffered for it. Because if you don't take that time to center yourself at the beginning of the day, you actually create all sorts of things that you think you have to do that are actually unnecessary. You get involved in all sorts of scenarios that are inappropriate and wasteful. So meditation is key in terms of not just centering oneself and feeling at peace to start the day. It actually is incredibly beneficial in terms of just saving loads of time, effort, money, and angst.
Yes. And you're involved with the book, The Course of Miracles. It's something that you follow in your life. And how long ago did you first read the book?
Yes, The Course in Miracles is a text. I started with it. I came across it best part of 8-9 years ago. It's a text that was received between 1965 and 1972. Basically, it's not a religious text, but it is a spiritual text. Its essence is about how we actually create our own reality. Our own thought patterns create the world we live in, our own. If we spend a lot of time looking, you know, focusing on fear, we actually create what we fear. When we focus on what we really want, what we really desire, we stand so much more of a better chance of attracting that to ourselves. I mean, this is what you see often these days in sports, you know. If you play golf, then you visualize the ball going into the hole. You don't visualize, you know, if you get fearsome about the shot, then you're probably going to produce a bad result.
So do you feel that by meditating and the things you've learned through A Course in Miracles has enabled you to have more focus in your life? It's about focus, really, would you say?
Absolutely. I mean, I think meditation helps one really kind of get at what is important. And it helps just let go of the noise, the everyday noise that we all suffer.
Yeah. Some people call that the crazy voice or the mad monkey, don't they?
And all for it. Absolutely. And actually, just going back to the course, just to say that the other really key element in that is actually the forgiveness. Not the sense of superficial forgiveness, I'll let you off the hook and therefore I feel good and you're not, but I'll let you off. It's not that sort of forgiveness is about seeing situations differently. Forgiveness is about understanding that when somebody does something wrong, it's only a mistake. If we'd have been in the same position as that person and had the same life history as them, we would have done the same thing. So forgiveness is around understanding that whatever people do, including ourselves, is just a mistake that we've made as part of our learning process. Guilt is a real killer, and to be able to forgive is a real release from guilt around other people, and guilt that we project onto other people, and guilt that we feel about ourselves.
Yeah, that's very helpful, I'm sure, for a lot of people and for myself as well. And so you and your wife Sue currently run groups. Would you like to talk a bit about the groups that you run?
Yes, we live in an old schoolhouse just outside Stowmarket in Suffolk, and we run retreats, we run courses here, we we hire out the space, for example, to the local Buddhist group, and they come and have a retreat here. We have a lady comes over twice a year, called Sandy Levy from the US. She runs courses on a technique called the clearing process, which is very much Course in Miracles focused, and is a very good technique at releasing past guilt, fear, anger, and realizing that actually every problem that we create in our lives is actually a reflection of some story that we've made up earlier in our life.
We do hold on to things, don't we? And sometimes it can be for years and years. And like you say, it's a bit of a mirror going on. Do you feel a mirror? Things are reflected back at you.
The world is a mirror to us all the time. You know, and for entrepreneurs, their business life is like living in a hothouse. If they suffer a drop in sales and profits, there's a reason for it. And it's a matter of looking, first of all, inside to see what it is, who we're blaming, what we're not taking responsibility for, what we are creating, what stories we are making up within ourselves that we are actually projecting outwards onto our business.
Yes, you talk in your book about projections. I was reading that. That was very interesting because projections are about not taking responsibility, aren't they? But also, do you feel it's like having the awareness of the projection? It's quite a difficult thing to become aware of your projections, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We all have a default position where we want to blame somebody else. And
yeah,
it's much easier to blame somebody else. It's much easier to say, well, we're in recession. We have dropping off in sales because we're in recession. There's nothing we can do about it. It's because so-and-so cancelled their contract. There's a myriad of excuses. But basically, it's down to projection. If it's down to projection, is always about not taking responsibility.
And you talk about this in your book. Obviously, I'm not going to go into every detail because people have got to read this. And I feel, from what I've read of it, that it's going to be enormously helpful to people. You've been working with a clearing process, haven't you? And the technique is great helping deep-rooted emotional problems.
It is. I mean, certainly the clearing technique is a central part to my own spirituality and practice of spirituality in business. I also am very interested in spiritual intelligence, and I do work with a lady. Her name is Sarah Alexander, actually. She's a coach on that front in terms of spiritual intelligence. Again, that's very much intuition focused. It's very much about really getting in touch with what spirit has to say within us for any given situation.
Right. Going back a little bit to being employed or self-employed, you yourself say that you are only employed for 3 years of your life, is that right?
Yes. I mean, when I finished being a student, I did take up a job with Unilever in France in their market research department, and I learned a tremendous amount. It was hugely beneficial for me, but it always felt it wasn't the place for me. I always had a sense that I wanted to step out on my own.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Do you feel now there's more people interested in being self-employed than ever before? Because I've actually read that not so long ago, that there are more people wanting to be self-employed. The realization that that people are employed in jobs and they want to escape subservience is, you know, very much paramount to people finding their own path now.
I think that's very correct. I think there are more and more people wanting, recognizing their own passion, recognizing that they want to do things their own way. And it's not to be dogmatic about things, it's about a need to express one's own creativity. And people always think creativity is about music and the arts. It certainly is, but there's lots of people are drawn to expressing their own creativity through business in whatever form, shape it is.
Yes, I'd agree with that. It's brilliant. Okay, so can you tell us where people can get hold of you or about your courses? There's a website that you can direct people to, isn't there? You've got a website.
Yes, we have my wife Sue and I have a website. It's called theclearingspace.co.uk.
Also, a little bit more about the Course in Miracles, that you'll work with a group of other life coaches that are connected with that, and that website is
there's a lady called Sandy Levy. You'll find her details at sandylevy.com, and Sarah's details are on, you'll find at sarahalexander.co.uk.
Do you feel that it really does, the abundance thing, that people are often have an abundance block, not just because they're no good with money, but they have actually got other areas in their life, like you're saying, it can be a self-worth pattern that needs to be looked at and healed, that is actually manifesting in all areas of their life, so it affects the abundance as well, doesn't it?
I think this is a real big issue. I mean, along with lots of people wanting to become entrepreneurs and express themselves through their own passions, if you're going to build a business, you know, we're English and we're very, very, we're not good at putting ourselves forward. We're not good ourselves at promoting ourselves. English people have a lot of stories going on in their psyche around not being worthy of abundance. It's a ceiling that we put ourselves under. It's an unnecessary ceiling. Now, the universe wants us to have so much more than we actually believe we are worthy of.
So if there's one piece of advice that you would like, or a tip or something that you'd like to tell people now, what would you say about that? Is there one thing that you feel that they can do? I mean, I know that they can read the book. That would be a good one. Is there something that you feel in particular that has helped you on your journey?
Yes, I think it's really listen to what's going on within yourself. If you feel as though you want to build a business of your own in whatever area it is, pay attention to that voice. It will keep coming back anyway, but pay attention to it. And I've never met anybody that hasn't taken the step towards being an entrepreneur and then gone back and said, no, I didn't like it, I'm going to go get a job again. The road to being an entrepreneur is tricky, it's full of challenges, but it is genuine. It's a real expression of who you really are. And I think if there's one thing that's really important, it's get onto paper a drawing, a representation of what you want to create. See the job done. Put it onto paper. Maybe you've got to cut out pictures from magazines if you can't draw. But create an image of what you want to produce in 3 or 5 years, because time actually is much more malleable than what we think. Create what you want, get a vision of it, get that on the wall, see it, look at it every day, but feel the job done. Feel what it's like to have created this business of your own.
Terrific. That's great news. Okay, John, thank you very, very much for coming on Natural Co-Creators. It was great to talk to you, and I'm sure that we're all going to benefit from your words of wisdom, and I'm sure people also will get in touch with you if they're interested, and I'm sure they will be, about coming on your courses and learning more about spiritual entrepreneurs. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenny. It's been a pleasure.